Hey there, how are you doing? I am Kristen Ann James, but you can call me CJ, and you're listening to the Shine to 5 Method with CJ. I'm your host. In this podcast, I will be having authentic conversations with amazing women who have found their shine and are walking in their purpose. Because you want to know why? They know the importance of working on their mindset. Their stories are unique and relatable, sometimes at the same time, because we are all on this journey called life. I want these conversations to serve as encouragement to each and every one of you who feels stuck, that it's time to get your head in the game and find your shine. The world is waiting. Let's get into it. Joining me today is Samantha King. And she's an online course mentor. And we're going to be talking about breaking free of the friend zoned mindset. But before we get into the conversation, I want to give Samantha a moment to shine. And you tell us more about yourself, anything that you want us to know. And I know there's tons that you want us to know because there's tons that we need to know about you. You take it away. And thank you so much for being here with me today, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everybody. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Samantha King. And as CJ said, I am an online course mentor. I have, you know, years of experience teaching in the classroom because I'm a former teacher. And now I'm helping service providers package and sell what they know into digital products, specifically courses that run without them. And I do this in a ton of different ways. I am always here to support our course makers community. Of course, the funnest way that I get to do that is through our YouTube channel, where I get to break down everything that you need to know about online courses and digital products in 5 minutes or less.
Awesome. Awesome. And you know what? I did not know, or maybe I did, that you are a former teacher, but now it just completely makes sense what you do and what you can take your clients through so that they can create their content for online. So who do you find tends to come to you to create a course usually?
So I work with a lot of service providers, and they may be in a couple of different areas. Some of my service providers are running their business on one-on-one packages. And what they found is, you know, they've hit that, what I call an income earning ceiling in their business, in that there's no more room in their calendar for private clients to do that one-on-one work, because there really is only so much time we can trade for that. And they need to implement some other products that run without them. And so that'll be usually some kind of course. I also have business owners who are getting started and they're doing the work and laying the foundation for their sales ladder, or value ladder, as I call it. And they want to have a course as part of their business model. Mm-hmm. So I will usually do work with a couple of different clients, and they're at different stages in their business, but we always end up spending some time getting clear on a couple of key things that I think will really segue into what we're going to talk about today in terms of the friend zone.
Yes. And speaking of putting ourselves in the friend zone, do you find that people tend to have a block? Is there around just the word, using the word or the term course or creating an online course? Do you find that people feel like they can't offer a course because they don't know or they can't teach? Is there usually like a block around just the word itself?
Yeah, I think the first thing you did was you hit the nail on the head, is that 9 times out of 10, we end up putting ourselves in the friend zone with our audience. And the friend zone is, I mean, you know me, I watch a ton of television. Mm-hmm. And it actually came when I was rewatching Friends for the umpteenth millionth time. And it's a season 1 episode where Ross and Joey are talking about his crush on Rachel and how he's now in the friend zone because he's never done anything about it. Right. Why didn't he do anything about it? Because there were all kinds of mindset blocks around it. And the same thing can happen to us in our business. You know, we start to think, who am I to put a course together? I'm not an expert. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know everything about this topic. It could also be, you know, who am I to charge for something?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? Like there's so many different reasons that can really have, you know, us putting ourselves in the friend zone. And I think that's so powerful because we really get, and I think social media really plays a part in this, in that we really, we start our business. They tell us, you know, make sure that you go out there, you get your name out, whether it's networking, advertising, social media. And then, you know, as we're getting out there and doing that, we start to see, you know, the online gurus.
Yeah.
And we start to watch what they're doing. Right. Yeah. And they're telling us, you know, hey, be sure that you always have a lead magnet or some kind of free offer to get people on your email list. And they're usually posting motivational and inspirational stuff on Instagram or on whatever social media platforms they're on. And one of the things that I like to do before I take any advice from anybody is figure out how they're monetizing. Because if they're telling me to give things away for free and they're only posting motivational stuff on their Facebook feed, there's got to be something else that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Because a business needs to generate revenue. And, you know, if we don't stop and say, hey, what are they doing? Then it can be really easy for us to become that awesome, amazing person on Instagram who posts really cool, motivational, inspirational stuff, funny reels, gives away free things. And then when you go to say, hey, here's my offer, here's how you can pay me for some of the stuff that I know, your audience goes, wait a second, you're the person who gives me everything for free. I'll just wait until you give me something else for free. Because the piece we're missing between what the gurus are telling us to do and how they're making money is that they're usually selling off of their email list.
Right.
So for them, their social media has a different strategy behind it, because the prime real estate is in their email list. That's where they're converting people from audience to clients. And for us, as we're getting started, you know, when you're starting your business, your email list may not be as big, so you may not be able to sell that way, which means that your social media feed needs to be half motivation, inspiration, connection, and half authority building content where you're showing them that you're the expert that they should be hiring. And a little bit of that is also going to be you actually asking for the sale.
Right.
And so when we miss that kind of whole picture, we end up in the friend zone, because we do all this stuff that we're seeing and what people are telling us to do, but we can't quite figure out how they're monetizing it. So we don't really think about it either. And then we become that awesome person who gives away free stuff on the internet, but nobody thinks to hire.
Right, right. And what's that saying? Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? It's the same. Like, you keep offering all this content. You are still positioning yourself as an expert, but you're giving everything away for free. And now to make that shift from here's all this free content to now can you pay me for it? The best bridge, I guess I can think of describing it, is offering a course and designing
a course. Yeah, it's a great way to do that, because you can have a course that's a low ticket offering that really it's one of those things where they're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to try you out. And you know, as part of your social media, as part of that authority building, it is really going to be, hey, let's talk about why I'm the expert. And that can be a huge block for people, mm-hmm. because they may not be thinking of themselves as the expert, right? Who am I to teach other people how to do stuff? Who am I to say I know everything about this topic? You don't have to know everything about your topic to be the expert. You just have to be 3 or 4 steps ahead of your audience. And they are following you because you are 3 or 4 steps ahead and they are learning from you.
Right.
So once you can kind of accept that you may be putting yourself in the friend zone and do a little work around that, then you can start to shift and you have to shift and step into your power as your audience expert. You don't have to know everything, but they've identified you as somebody who can help them get from A to B on their transformational journey.
And so
that's really all the validation you need. You are an expert because they're here for you. They're here because they want to learn from you.
Right.
And that can be the next biggest block that you're facing in getting out of the friend zone.
Yeah, because then that's how we said, you know, we are putting ourselves in the friend zone because we're not looking at ourselves, or we're not seeing ourselves as experts, or you're not seeing yourself as someone who can quote unquote teach and offer this course because I have this content that people need. But you are here to show people, like, for example, if they're as an expert, they probably get frequently asked questions that you can now take and say, hey, you know, people keep asking me this stuff and it's always seems to be the same stuff. And I'm like, ding.
Exactly.
There's a course that you absolutely can create there for your audience. So when people are trying to figure out creating a course, and they might have had the block, and now they're trying to take themselves, dig themselves out of the friend zone and the friend zone mindset. And they may go from thinking they can't, or they don't have it. I don't like the word, use the word can't. They don't have enough content to create a course. Once they do create that one course, do you find that they're like, oh my gosh, like I have so much more content that I can create for my audience, and they end up making 2, 3, 4, even 5 more courses? Like, how does that kind of work for the process that people go through?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I really work with two types of clients where some of them are creating a signature course, which means they only really have an intention for one course, and others who are using a little bit of a different strategy. Because when it comes to your online course, there are so many different ways that it can fit in your business. There are different strategies that you can use. I've seen product-based businesses use the course to educate people on the general area of their of the product that they sell, the problems that their product helps. And then they sell the product, right? So the course is free, but the product is paid for. For service providers, it's usually that they're packaging and selling what they know, and the course is a paid product. And so really, once you've figured out, you know, what your strategy is going to be, then it becomes, how is this going to fit into your business? And we have a great video on our YouTube channel all about the 4 different ways that an online course can fit into your business. But for these, For the business owners who are thinking that they might have more than one course in them, it's because they're usually working on a strategy where their focus, the course's strategy is to spotlight one specific hurdle of their client's journey. And then they might shine a light on the other hurdles. And that's how they kind of get what we call a school, right? A collection of courses that people can take with them. The most important thing when you're figuring out your online course strategy is to figure out how it fits into your business. That comes from really saying, okay, well, what do I want this course to do for me? Because when I work with my clients, you know, I'm a specialist in curriculum design, but I also spend a lot of time on those foundational pieces. And that's why I spend a lot of time talking to my audience about the friend zone mindset and how to get out of the friend zone and building authority. And we talk, and then we go into, okay, what are you going to teach in an online course? And just like you said, you know, it really comes from, you know, what can I teach in a self-directed manner, right? Because the difference between an online course and an online program is that the program is something you show up live to teach. So it can be 50% self-directed because maybe there's homework they have to do before they come to class. It could, and then 50% personalized. With an online course, this is something that you're not there with them holding their hand while they complete it. You put the time and effort into creating it, and then they buy it from you and take it on their own time. So you have to be really clear about what this course is going to do for you and how it fits into your business, because a good value ladder or sales ladder will have a course, and then it will have some kind of group coaching or maybe a membership site, something that might have some recurring income products. But really the basis is after the course, you want to move them into something that is self-directed, 50% self-directed, 50% personalized. You move them kind of into a group coaching thing. And then after that, you move them to your one-on-one products or your Cadillac offerings, as I call it. Because what you want this course to do, and this is what's really going to make sure that you don't bring this course to market once or twice and then toss it to the side because it's not doing what you want, is you want to make sure that this course is generating leads for those other products. It's preparing, the course is preparing students to work with you in your online program, and then again in your Cadillac offering. So I really do tend to have people who are doing a little bit of both, and it's okay to do either or, because really everybody's strategy for what you want this course to do for you and your business is going to be different.
Yeah. And I like how you touched on courses essentially are to generate leads. And it's also the clients you say that you work with, they've reached an income ceiling, and they want to, and they know they have the content to share with their audience, with their niche. But you did mention also there are the ones where they create these courses, they offer these courses, and it's not doing what they had hoped or what they had anticipated or expected it to do. What usually is the trend or the pattern that gets people to offer these courses that they really, they put all this work and this time and effort and energy into creating a course? And is it just that they expect it a faster turnaround? Is it that they didn't have the right goal in mind? Is it that they didn't reverse engineer the course properly to see what they wanted to offer? Like, what would happen to have someone create a course and then just give up on it?
It can be a couple of different things. I think at the end of the day, it's frustration and not getting the results that you want. But really, we want to dive into, you know, why you didn't get those results.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, they didn't, like you said, reverse engineer. Well, something we learn about in teachers' colleges, the term we get real friendly with, is plan with the end in mind.
Yeah.
And I tell my clients to do that with their business, but also with their course. You know, where are you going? Because once you understand where you're going, then you can start working backwards to make sure that you get there. And it's the same thing with your course, right? What do you want your students to know? And then build backwards from there. What do they need to learn in order for them to be able to do what your course has promised them? And those things that they need to learn become your lesson topics, right? There's a little curriculum design nugget for you guys today. And so sometimes it really can be that the curriculum is off and it's not delivering what you had said that it was going to deliver. And so you can see people, you can see, you know, sales might go down because of that. The other thing that could happen is it's not fitting into your business model properly. So some of the other digital marketers out there, and we talked about a little bit when you're getting out of the friend zone, part of it is really understanding your niche and your niche is in your story, guys, right? It's not it's not just about the segment of people you want to serve. It's also about your story and how you are uniquely poised to help them. And then the other piece of getting out of the friend zone, especially when it pertains to niche, is looking at what your competitors are doing, what the other people in your market are doing, and figuring out where they're dropping the ball. There's things that they're doing amazingly, and there's things that they're not necessarily doing to the best that they could be. So for me, my one thing is I'm a former teacher. So of course I teach online courses, right? And I talk about the friend zone and building authority because that's part of my story. And so I work with business owners who are struggling with that and they want to create online courses, but they want to make sure that first they're creating that foundational piece so that when they go to launch their course, there's people there waiting for them.
Yeah.
And really, like I always say, what makes me different from my competitors is that some of the other digital marketers out there, they'll tell you to find your winning idea and then create your course around it. Well, that's when your course, the course is the business. But for many of my clients and some of the service providers who might be listening in on your podcast, the course is not the business. They still love their group coaching program or their one-on-one work that they do. They love the impact that they can make in those situations. The course is meant to complement that. And when you try to use the other idea that, you know, the course is the business, you're almost trying to fit like a square peg into a circle hole. And that's why you end up dropping it once or twice. Launching it once or twice. So that could be it. The other thing that it could be is that you haven't built your authority yet. Your audience, if you're still in the friend zone with your audience, it doesn't matter if you put a great course together. If there's nobody there waiting for you when it launches, then chances are the sales aren't going to be there. So there's a couple of different reasons why you can get to that point where you've brought it out. You've put all this hard work into it. You've launched it once or twice and then nothing happened. So you put it back away and went back to what was working.
Yeah. But if the course wasn't working, and as you have clearly said, we each and every one of us can create some kind of course. We do have something. We are the expert. We should position ourselves, put ourselves in a position of authority to share this. So if a course doesn't really resonate with who you thought your target audience is, and that could be it. You thought this is what, who your target audience is. You thought this is who your niche is because they weren't adding their story into it. Mm-hmm. Do you find there's a resistance sometimes to people sharing their stories based on like the kind of content that they want to put out? Do they hold on to their story sometimes?
Absolutely. They struggle with that balance between, you know, building authority and being seen as the expert and giving it all away for free. They also struggle with sharing their story. Mm-hmm. And because some things, you know, they are private, like we don't need everything on social media, right? And I think that the biggest thing that we have to remember is that we don't have to share every part of our life, right? We don't have to be the Kardashians. That is not something like that is not who you need to be. Mm-hmm. But you can share how your story relates and what nooks and crannies it went into and turns that it took as it pertains to whatever it is that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, if I want to talk about the getting out of the friend zone and building authority and then monetizing with an online course, I will share my story. And sometimes I may share my story about how I'm a teacher and how I can help other people do what I want to do. And that's really authority building content. And other times I'll share how I was in the friend zone, right? Mm-hmm, and how easy it is to find yourself almost like going back into that mindset, right? Because we put ourselves in it. How do we get ourselves out of it, right? So it really is about you don't have to share every single thing that's ever happened to you in your whole life. You don't have to share like things that are embarrassing or awkward. Really, you just want to let your audience know that you get it. You get where they've been. And so your niche being in your story doesn't mean you're bearing everything like an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It really is just, and we've all watched that show, like it can be at least once, I'm sure most people have, but it really is more about figuring out how you are uniquely poised to help them because you've been there and done that. And now you have what my favorite Instagrammer, Vivian Kay, says, and you can follow her at It's Vivian Kay. She always says, and now you have the receipt.
Yes, yes. Oh, she's so sassy. I love following her. Love Vivian.
My kids know the sound of her voice.
They're a little fan. So speaking of, your story and finding your niche and wanting to put out a course or thinking about putting out a course, do you have anything coming up that would help people that are still kind of on the fence or they're trying to figure it out or what their next steps are?
Absolutely. You know, I'm busy working away on our Friend Zone to Authority Island Summit, which is happening from August 17th to August 19th. It's a free virtual event where I am gathering 25 to 35 experts who are going to be helping people go from Friend Zone to Authority Island. So being somebody that your audience knows what you do and how they can pay you to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be so fun because we're going to start with niche identification, figuring out who your ideal client is and how to really show up and offer products that they want, as well as speak to them in words that they are going to identify with. And then we have experts who are talking about building authority. And we finish it off on day three with monetizing. And you may want to monetize in an online course, in which case, of course, you'll be tuning into my session. Mm-hmm. But we also have people who are talking about membership sites. And we have people who are talking about, how you can use 5-day business boot camps to generate leads to sell into maybe your online program. So much going on. And I know you'll put the link in the show notes. But, of course, anybody who wants to can head on over to authorityisland.com/coming-soon to get on the pre-registration list for the free tickets.
Yeah. And it's a free event. It's awesome. Thank you in advance for offering that. And it's going to be a great event. But before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, for those of us who are still keeping ourselves stuck in the friend zone and have that friend zone mindset, do you have a nugget, something that you just want to remind people? This is what you have to hold on to as you position yourself as an expert in your field.
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing I'd love for people to remember is that 9 times out of 10, you have put yourself in the friend zone. And what that means is you get to control how long you stay in there and how fast you get out of there. And what might typically be holding you back could be that you don't feel like an expert. And the reality is you are an expert. You have valuable things to teach all of us. You're here for a reason. And your audience who is following you, whether they're 10,000 of them or 100 of them, they know and believe that you are the authority. They believe in you because you have shown them something that has told them, this is somebody who can help me right now. Yeah. And so lean into that, step into that and acknowledge that. Because the steps you take don't have to be big. You just need them to be taking you in the right direction. And you control what that direction is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's why I feel like why we start our businesses, because we are experts. You know, we have this experience that has positioned us as experts, and we now want to share with people who are going through a similar experience. So I love that we are ending off this wonderful conversation with that reminder, with that nugget, because you're starting a business because you are an expert. You're creating your course because you are an expert and people need your expertise. So lean into that. Thank you very much, Samantha, for being here with me today, sharing your expertise on just showing up and creating your online course. Looking forward to your event. And I absolutely appreciate you every single day.
Thank you so much.
Well, we've come to the end of the episode, and girl, can I just say that I hope that you enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. How inspired are you feeling right now? Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on what we have coming up, because these will just keep getting better and better. If you're a young woman ready to get out of that grind to five rut and find your shine to five purpose, connect with me on my website, kristennjames.com. Take care until next time. And as I always say, have a sparkling day.